This morning's Bible reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning verse 1 of chapter 5. And I'm reading from the Message. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. I am emphatic about this. The moment any one of you submits to circumcision or any other rule-keeping system, at that same moment, Christ's hard-won gift of freedom is squandered. I repeat my warning. The person who accepts the ways of circumcision trades all the advantages of the free life in Christ for the obligations of the slave life of the law. I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior: faith expressed in love. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please, don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute amount of yeast, you know, to permeate an entire loaf of bread. Deep down, the Master has given me confidence that you will not defect. But the one who is upsetting you, whoever he is, will bear the divine judgment. As for the rumor that I continue to preach the ways of circumcision, as I did in those pre-Damascus Road days, that is absurd. Why would I still be persecuted then? If I were preaching that old message, no one would be offended if I mentioned the cross now and then. It would be so watered down. It wouldn't matter one way or the other. Why don't these agitators, obsessive as they are about circumcision, go all the way and castrate themselves? It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows.
The group are going to lead us in the singing of the song Traveling the Road to Freedom. And I think they're going to sing through the first couple of verses, and then if you then, as you've picked it up, join in at that point. We'll stay seated whilst we sing, although the group will have to stand up, of course.
Thank you.
No one is completely free. Absolute freedom just does not exist, cannot exist. My freedom is limited by your freedom. We've seen that this week in so many ways. With protests in support of climate change and students with disabilities out on the streets to demand fair access to universities, and most tragically in the racially motivated murder of people worshipping God, so much anger and hatred. There was an interesting discussion on Question Time about whether the security forces should have detained the wives and family who have, for whatever reasons, left the UK to go to Syria. Are the security forces at fault for letting them go? That was the question. And the voice of clarity came from Alex Salmond, who I don't always agree with. But he hit the nail on the head when he said that the price of being a democratic, free society is that we don't want security forces to have those powers. We often measure ourselves against other nations by the level of freedoms that we enjoy, not a police state, freedom of information, freedom of movement, free education and healthcare. Well, not really free, because if you've paid taxes, then you've been paying for it for quite a long time. But free at the point of delivery is the way that they talk about it. Freedom of speech. That's an interesting one. It's not freedom of speech without consequences, we've learned. We may have to pay a high price for our words, like losing your job or targeted by terror threats. It's not long when you start talking about freedom when you begin to run into these caveats and conditions to it. So if I was to ask you, who are the faces or images that pop into your mind when you think of freedom? Who would they be? What are they? Maybe they would be Nelson Mandela. Maybe Aung San Suu Kyi or suffragettes might pop into your mind. Maybe Gandhi or Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa setting people free from poverty. Or the things like the Jubilee Action Campaign and Make Poverty History that were also about trying to alleviate and set people free from the chains of debt and poverty. And then, of course, this year particularly, we've already thought much about Martin Luther King Jr., and that's quite poignant after what happened in that church in the States. All these causes are still struggles for us today in one way or another. And we know that there are good freedoms and bad freedoms. Human beings given freedom is a frightening thing. And yet it's deep within our identity to seek freedom, to be free. There's something about being human that is also an expression of freedom. There's two sides to it, freedom to and freedom from. Free to love, to be who you are, to, well, you can perhaps fill in the gap of what seems most appropriate to you. And freedom from, well, fear, the burden of the past, the doubts, or what about addiction? Freedom from those things which hold us as slaves. There are many things that are like chains that bind us so that life is less than it could be. One of the main themes of the Bible story is the journey from slavery to freedom. Human beings from the beginning exercise their free will in ways that bring destruction and harm and division. One of the keys to the meaning of life seems to start in the Garden of Eden when those first beings rejected their freedom to exist within the realm of their Creator. Their rejection is a choice to live as their own God And the story included constant references to people who assumed more power than they should, or set up images of false gods to worship in place of the one true God. You could argue that they choose to be less than they were created to be by the one who called them into life. As the story develops, we soon reach the Exodus, with the cry of the Israelite people for freedom from slavery, and there's a very simple little verse that says, "And God heard them." God's then, "Let my people go," is echoed right through the scriptures. Individuals and the community of God's people walk always this tightrope of expressing their free will and developing their identity as those who are shaped by faith. We're responsible for our lives and decisions, and there's help and guidance too. Always the choice between good and bad, things that build life, things that destroy life. So when we read these words to the Galatian people about freedom in Christ, it's like, of course, this would be one of the characteristics of God revealed through Jesus, who taught others how to be free of the laws about religion and invited them instead to love God. Jesus, who wasn't afraid of suffering, but embraced it in order to overcome it and bring healing to others. Yes, Jesus revealed what it means to live freely and offered this understanding of God to his followers. It was from there, from the beginning of time, we were made to be free. But what does that mean? What did it mean to those Galatians, and what does it mean for us here today? The big question for the Galatians was whether they were still tied to the past. They're at the heart of the discussions about whether, as the church grew and spread across the Roman Empire, new Christians who weren't from a Jewish background, whether they needed to take up Jewish rituals in order to be Christians. Were the first Jewish Christians carried on their practices in a continuity with their roots as the church included an increasing number of non-Jewish people and even began to be the majority? The debate about what was authentic for being Christian grew quite heated, particularly the requirements for circumcision. I can quite understand why the men called that one into question particularly. The Apostle Paul sets the context as one of law versus grace. He argues that faith in Jesus sets them free from these rituals, and their identity isn't in marks like circumcision, but in how their lives reflect love. It's all at the end of this chapter that the fruits of the Spirit are listed. Those marks and characteristics of the Christian life that are to grow in us to be the fruit of our becoming more like God. There are some for whom the legalistic application of the law, of religious law, is more important than love, of course. It's easier to follow laws. It's one of the things that Jesus railed against and sought to free people from. The invitation to love, not rules. Time to let go of the past. And so verse 14 says, the whole law is summed up in, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law summed up in the way we love our neighbour. It's almost like that past mentality of slavery is lodged in their minds rather than their freedom. Maybe they felt safer having rules to follow rather than relationship to measure. Perhaps looking back felt more secure than looking forwards into the unknown future. What he's talking about is the freedom of the Spirit and the way the Spirit of God can set our spirit free in whatever circumstances we face, which will be different for each one of us. This seems to me is a big test for the church today. Not just here, but throughout the world. A big test. How do we show love and joy and peace? How will patience, kindness, and goodness be demonstrated in our relationships to our neighbours? What does it mean to be faithful? And to whom? What if we were known as followers of Jesus for these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit more than some of the other things which we have come to be known for? Would more people meet Jesus Christ through us? I agree. So we're invited to live by the Spirit and to be free. And my question is, how free are we? What do we still need to be set free from? What do we still need to be free to express or to accept? There are so many things which people are still chained to, and our message is that Jesus Christ can set people free. Free from fear and suffering, free to make home and be at peace, free from addictions. Are they free to love and free to express it? Far too many people are still in slavery of one form or another. Children, women, and men used by others for economic gain or other people's pleasures. And what will freedom feel like when it comes? Well, we can see any number of films that show us what it's like when a person finds that their spirit is free. But freedom in Jesus, what might that look like? Well, I experienced it this week in Eastwood Park Prison, a place where you wouldn't expect to find freedom. Where every day a woman attempts to take their own life. Where hopelessness can overwhelm. I sat with Lorna and we talked about the ups and downs of life, the triumphs and the heaviness that sometimes sits over the whole place. And then we prayed together. And in the stillness that filled that little room, and I have to say, I was rather caught by surprise by this. We fell silent and simply sat together. And I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to say anything more or not. I just kept my eyes on Lorna, who sat with her eyes closed, smiling. And after a few moments, she eventually opened her eyes and smiled at me and said, "I could feel his presence. And I didn't want to move. I just wanted to enjoy it." And there was a freedom in her spirit for that moment. And that's the thing about loving our neighbours Can we share moments when the Spirit frees us and our neighbours from the things which hold us back and tie us down and keep trying to make life less than it should be? There's no magic wand that sets people free. We aren't offering a quick fix, even though sometimes some find themselves caught up in the unexplainable goodness of God. Rather, by faith, we love, and in our loving, we share moments when we, together with others, are free to be who we are. And find our lives overflowing with fruit. Free to be who we are. Moments of freedom. So we're going to sing a song that's about freedom, and then we're going to pray for it to come, even here today.